Well, I want to thank you all for taking the time to visit with us this morning, and I guess it's now afternoon. You know, AirVenture is all about reconnecting the thrill of flight and the enjoyment that we get from exploring the skies. I can't tell you how great it is to be here, because what you represent in aviation is what's fun. What's fun, it's exciting, it's how we can have a great time connecting with families, with friends. At the same time, I salute you. I salute you for your commitment to improving the skills that you have as pilots and to passing on your knowledge and your wisdom to other pilots and to future generations. And that's not just by age. Future generations of pilots, young and old, who are just starting to discover this field, which we all love so much. So thank you very much for what you do as a community and what you represent to keep general aviation alive and well here in America. Thank you very much. Hey, Jack, I know we're going to go to questions now, but...
Before we do the questions, you and I have a little conversation.
Okay, but I'd actually like... Could I introduce my FAA team?
Absolutely.
That's here in the front row. And when I call on you, stand up and turn around and wave. Eddie Angelis has just joined the FAA as our Associate Administrator for Airports. Eddie hails from Los Angeles, California, where he was a deputy city attorney and advised Los Angeles World Airports. Before that, San Francisco International Airport. Terry Bristol. Terry was promoted to Chief Operating Officer of the FAA, responsible for our air traffic organization a few months ago. Terry has a long career in the FAA. She started as an acquisition specialist and has grown up to running the entire operation. She's got a wonderful team, and you've been talking to all of her controllers over the past few days to get you into Whitman Airport here in Oshkosh. Peggy Gilligan. Peggy is no stranger to all of you. Peggy, of course, is our Associate Administrator for Aviation Safety. And you all know Peggy's background, her career with the FAA. I want to call out that Peggy was recently recognized with the L. Welch Pogue Award, which is given annually to an aviation professional for a lifetime contribution to innovation in aviation. And we are certainly very proud to have Peggy recognized for that. So. Okay. John Duncan. John's been talking to a lot of you. John flew himself here as our Director of Flight Standards. Mike Berry as our newly minted, the Chief Physician, you know, the doc. Okay. Many of you know Earl Lawrence down here. I guess I don't have to tell you who he is. let me also give a shout out to Barry Cooper. Barry Cooper does a fabulous job representing the FAA as our regional administrator here in the Great Lakes region. He's based in Chicago, but he wishes he lived in Wisconsin. And so it's great to see him here. Who have, Sasha Johnson is our chief of staff, traveled up from Washington this morning. Scott Gore responds to all the letters that you generate to members of Congress. And Laura Brown does a wonderful job representing us in the communications world. And then finally, another Midwesterner, Max Sletsky, whose job is to keep me on time. And he is a very proud University of Michigan fan. Okay, did anybody else stand? Okay. And more people with blue shirts around here. But okay, so Jack.
Thank you, Michael. Gave us some great insights as to what's going on at the agency. Now, before we open the Q&A, I thought we'd just have a conversation.
Sure.
And I think one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about was that the medical petition clearly is the issue that is the most important to general aviation as a whole. And you explained that it left Independence Avenue. And I think, before we get in the Q&A, if you could give us some color on the process. What because those of us who understand the NPR process kind of know what that sequencing is, but if you could kind of talk through that so that people understand what are the next steps.
Sure. Well, the important thing is that what we've done is the hard work, and that is we have drafted what is in it and what its framework is going to be. And as I mentioned in my prepared remarks, what we were, when we focused, the easy thing for us to do was to say, this is too hard, no. Our team was very focused on how do we get to yes here and how do we work through that. And so all of the work of how we're framing it and how the thing would actually be administered, all that's work has now been completed. So when it leaves us, it goes to our parent agency, the U.S. Department of Transportation, and they're responsible for reviewing it. We've tried to expedite that process by having some pre-briefings with them so that they understand what it is, what the history of it is, and how it fits into the overall framework of the FAA. From there, it goes to the Office of Management and Budget. They have to review any regulatory action that's taken for any government agency, not just the FAA. But again, we're trying to expedite it by going through the same process with them. The thing that this does represent a very significant policy change, and what we're trying to do is focus the discussion for for our government colleagues on why it does make sense to consider this policy change and to accept public comment on it. They like to argue with us over, is the parentheses on the right side of the comma, or should we use this word or that word and all that sort of stuff. And we try to avoid that as much as possible. But then they review it, and then we put it out for public comment. Once it goes out for public comment, the law requires that it be out for 60 to 90 days. And then we have a responsibility to adjudicate every one of those comments. So if you're all going to write letters, write the same letter, because it makes it easier for us to adjudicate the comments, because we can batch them and we can treat them as a group. And once we receive that, then when I say adjudicate the comments, we have to respond to them. And like any rulemaking, and you know this, there are positions on the other side. There are positions who are saying this is a bad idea and we shouldn't be doing this. And so in our response to the comments, what we have to say is how we've weighed the specific issues that those individuals raise and how we reach the conclusion that we reach with respect to the final rule. And then we publish the final rule.
So internally, I'm assuming you've anticipated what kinds of comments you're going to get back in your decision to have created a rule.
Well, we got 16,000 of them on the exemption, so we have a sense.
We have a sense.
Yeah.
So the interpretation could be that we're moving in the right direction getting a rule done.
Well, the key thing is you've asked for a major policy. You asked for two things. You asked for a major policy change. You asked us to do it via the exemption route. What we are telling you is what we are putting forward is a major policy change, which is where you want to get. The exemption route doesn't work because the exemption route is intended to be for limited term, which you don't want. You want this to be a permanent change. And it's also intended to deal with limited circumstances. And you have told us 40,000 people can be affected by this. That's not a small universe. So that's why it has to be done in this way, but it gets us to where you're trying to get.
Excellent.
And I know your follow-up question, I can't tell you what's in it. And the reason for that is under the Administrative Procedures Act, that's an ex parte communication. But what I can tell you is it won't be surprising to you, and that I think that what we have done is we've really considered what you put in front of us. And so when you see the notice, that will be when we can start in a forum like this entertaining what's in, what's out, and all that kind of stuff.
Excellent. You also talked about the ability to have a second pilot in the flight test phase of the experimental amateur-built aircraft, and we really appreciate you working with us to get that done. Yeah, I think, I'm a great, thank you.
Well, Jack, if I could just talk a bit about that. What this is, philosophically, my team knows this, but just for all of you, we spend a lot of time that oftentimes we're accused of spending a lot of time figuring out how to say no. We actually, and we challenge one another on this, and every one of the people that I introduced and all the people that work for them, what we really, in a very focused way, spend a lot of time doing is, well, why not? How do we get to yes here? This is a reasonable thing, and it's really consistent with where we're trying to get in aviation. Aviation has always been about innovation. It's been about collaboration, and you don't innovate if what you're always getting is no. My son reminds me of that all the time.